As promised, we are joined right now by a three-time NBA champion. He is a forward with the Miami Heat. He is the longest tenured captain in Miami Heat history. A two-time first-team All-SEC player in Florida. A finalist for the Naismith Player of the Year Award. He was a member of the University of Florida Hall of Fame. He was undrafted in 2002. Udonis Haslam is my guest. Udonis, it is really nice to have you on. How are you?
Good, Jim. How you doing?
Good, good. Listen, you have an amazing piece in the Players Tribune about the city of Miami and COVID-19. I want to get into all that, but let me re-ask the question. How are you doing and how is your family right now during this time?
Oh, man, I appreciate it, Jim. We get to learn a lot about each other, man. I mean, instead of, you know, thinking of it in the positive, in a negative way, we've really taken the time out to, you know, and spend quality time together, man. Like, I knew my kids were cool. I knew they were talented. I knew they were smart. But I'm learning things about my kids that I never would have had the opportunity to learn about them, you know, through these crazy times, you know, spending a lot of time with my wife. So, you know, just trying to turn this time into, you know, a positive situation.
I think that's the best attitude. That's the best approach. Udonis Haslam is joining us. Now, as I mentioned, you've got this great piece in the Players Tribune, and in it you point out that you're from Miami, but you want to make the point that South Beach is not Miami. As an example, you didn't go to South Beach until you were in the NBA. So what was life like for you growing up in Liberty City?
I mean, I tell people all the time, like, you know, when we were growing up, we used to go to a beach, you know, Hollover Beach. Is where we used to go, and it was more so just hanging out, barbecuing, and jet skiing, and, you know, things like that. But, you know, for me, you know, on the other side of the bridge, you know, Miami Beach was almost like going to a different state or going on vacation. Like, we never really crossed the bridge, you know. It was kind of almost like we felt like we weren't allowed over there. We wasn't, you know, we weren't, like, you know, we weren't comfortable being on that side of the bridge. So, you know, for me, I only knew what I was around every day, and that's the thing that I try to preach to the youth nowadays is that there's a bigger city outside of what you're confined in every day. You know, a lot of these kids see drugs, violence, you know, homelessness and this and that, and they think that's what the whole world is about. But the whole world is so much bigger than Liberty City, and I just want to provide these kids with the opportunity to see that.
Udonis Haslam is joining us, and I'm going to talk about those opportunities in a minute. But, I mean, it's so interesting what you say or what you see and what you say. As an example, what did you see when you were growing up? I mean, you saw things that really no kid should ever see, right? What were the types of things you saw growing up?
I mean, obviously, I was fortunate enough to have older guys, you know, around me. You know, I was always a big kid, so I always hung out with older guys that kind of, you know, kept me out of, you know, as much harm's way as possible. But, you know, I've attended more funerals than I would, you know, care to talk about. You know, I've lost more friends to the, you know, judicial system than, you know, I've care to talk about. You know, so, you know, I wouldn't say I had it rough, because for me growing up, that was just my reality. You know, it was my reality that people went to jail. It was my reality that people, you know, struggled through homelessness and drug addiction. That was my reality that, you know, people got killed through gun violence. That was just my reality. You know, I thought that was how the whole world was until I got to the University of Florida, and I started to realize, like, wait a minute, there's something different going on out here in this world. This is not how everybody lives. This is not reality. This is not how the world is. This is not how it should be, you know. So it wasn't until then that I realized that it was more out there for me than just, you know, what I was confined around every day.
Udonis Haslam is joining us. You know, you also make the point that when you were growing up, there were some people, really fortunately for you, there were people who looked out for you. Who were the folks that looked out for you, and what did they do for you?
I think, you know, it takes a village. You know, it takes a village to raise a kid, and definitely growing up in the inner city, you know, there's only so much a parent can do. You know, they can provide you with the tools. They can provide you with the lessons. They can provide you with the lectures. But there's come a point in time where you're going to have to come from what's under their wing, and you step out here into this world. And when you step out here into this world, you're on your own. And I was fortunate enough to have a lot of guys that, you know, hung around the neighborhood, did different things in the neighborhood, you know, but they weren't necessarily guys that lived the normal, everyday, consistent 9-to-5 life. But, you know, these are guys that had a good heart and had good intentions. And, you know, anytime I was doing something wrong or being in a place I didn't have no business doing, these guys were the first to step up and say, hey, man, you got to get out of here. This ain't for you. This ain't where you need to be. And that's what I try to tell people all the time is when I take pride in calling myself an OG around this NBA and for these guys, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm a guy that does something negative. It just means that I'm a guy that's been around, that's seen a lot of different things, that understands how some of these situations can play out. And if I have the opportunity to save the next generation from taking a step that can put them in the wrong direction, I'm going to step up and make sure that I take that step and make sure I save those guys from making those mistakes.
Because there was an OG or OGs who did the same thing for you, Udonis Haslem joining us. One of them, Buckwheat, he gave you the jersey right off his back. What was that jersey and what did that jersey mean to you?
It's crazy. It's funny that you brought that up, man. You know, Buckwheat is, you know, one of the OGs down in Miami. You know, it's Overtown, which is another historical, you know, site in Miami where a lot of people come down now and they visit Overtown and people don't know the history of Overtown. But, you know, growing up back in the day, Overtown was, you know, for most of the historical black entertainers that came to Miami, they would live Overtown. The Muhammad Ali spent time Overtown. You know, Sammy Davis Jr., these guys, when they would come visit Miami to perform and do their jobs, they would live Overtown. Historical Overtown is very historical in Miami. So Buckley's from Overtown. He knows a lot of the history. And he gave me my first Alonzo Mourning jersey. You know, up until that time, I had been to a Heat game, but everybody on the court looked like ants. You know what I mean? I had slept so high up that
right.
I couldn't even recognize the guys. So Alonzo Mourning was a guy who I never thought I would meet, but I was always a huge, you know, Heat fan. And he gave me his first Alonzo Mourning jersey. He gave me my first Alonzo Mourning jersey off his back, like literally off his back. And that meant a lot to me, you know, because I had never owned an NBA jersey at that time. And for him to give me his, you know, that Alonzo Mourning jersey off his back. Mind you, at this time, I'm all the way in college now. So it was all the way to college before I even owned an NBA jersey.
It's incredible. Udonis Haslem, that is amazing. But as you point out, you never even went to South Beach until you got to the NBA. You know, so I had Jonathan Isaac from the Orlando Magic on the show earlier today, and this kind of plays into something you wrote about as well. He was talking about the work that he's doing right now to make sure that kids who are not in school are still able to get breakfast and lunch. You make the point that when you were a kid who was getting school lunches, how critical that was. In fact, most of your school had lunch cards. What do you remember about that? And then how concerning is this time right now when kids are not in school?
Oh, man, I remember how good the damn fish sticks were.
Right.
You know, for me, I couldn't wait to get to school to get those fish sticks and get that free lunch and, you know, take advantage of those opportunities, you know, in those times. You know, a lot of times, you know, when you're dealing with adverse circumstances, a lot of times when you go to school, that's your safe haven. That's the opportunity to be away from the violence. That's the opportunity to be away from the drugs. That's the opportunity to get education and consistent meals. So for a lot of these kids, that's a safe haven for them. As far as, you know, what we're doing, you know, moving forward in Miami, you know, through my letter and through my connections, you know, we focused on giving back to the community. We've gotten the city of Miami to put up $1 million. So between the five districts in Miami, which we have five districts, we're looking to disperse $1 million between the five districts in Miami to help feed the kids, you know, through my foundation, Udonis Haslem Children's Foundation, and my restaurant, also 800 Degrees. We're going to also partner and put together ways to feed these kids with this $1 million that we have to spread throughout these five districts.
And good for you. That's great. Like, to that point, knowing what you know from your own childhood, how does COVID-19 impact kids who are growing up in the situation that is similar to the situation you grew up in?
I mean, these kids need school. You know, these kids need school, and it's bigger than education. I know education is big, and I don't want to take away the impact that education has on the youth and their futures. But, you know, people think about this. They think about, oh, yeah, you just go to school for school, and you just go to school to get an education. And take nothing away from that. That's all great, and there's definitely value in that. But for these kids to get out of the house and get to school and to get meals and different things like that, it's so much bigger than education. I think if people look at it like that, they look at it as just not going to school and learning, you know, mathematics or economics. They look at it as life. Now I think they have a different perspective on it. You know, a lot of these kids, you know, if they can't go to school and they can't get meals, then, you know, the domino effect is the crime rate goes up. And then if the crime rate goes up, the domino effect is, you know, some of these kids end up getting prosecuted for decisions that they're making. You know, so it's just a domino effect, and it's a vicious cycle. And I feel like we just need to nip it in the bud, and we got to stop it and put our resources together and do something now.
Udonis Haslem joining me for a few more moments. Now, you didn't cover this in the Players Tribune piece, but you did play your high school ball for my guy, Frank Martin. I've always loved talking to Frank, man. I love Frank Martin. But I never had to play for him now. Now, what was he like to play for?
Wow. Jim, I'll tell you one thing. You do your homework, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do.
You do your homework.
I take it seriously.
Frank is, you know what? Frank is a man's man. You know what I'm saying? He's a man's man. When you talk about a coach that dedicates himself to improving the life of young men beyond the game of basketball, Frank Martin is that guy. I can't sit here and say, honestly, and it makes me kind of like emotional, I can't sit here and say honestly that I have the life and the situation that I have without Frank Martin saving me and grabbing me and telling me there's something bigger and better going on than what you see every day. In my opinion, you know what I'm saying, he's an angel, you know what I'm saying, to so many, not just myself, to so many kids. You know, you don't know the times that guys on our team have called Frank 4 and 5 in the morning, scared, like, you know, whatever the situation, I got kicked out or I'm getting chased home or, you know, this situation. And Frank jumps out of bed and he goes pick these guys up and he makes sure our guys are straight. I mean, for so much, you know, he's been an angel for so many of us. And I'm forever, you know, grateful for Frank Martin in my life, man. He's like a father figure to me. And if Frank pick up the phone right now, at 39 years old, I'm like a kid and I'm listening to whatever he says.
Donis, that's amazing. That's not surprising, but that's amazing. And, of course, these are things that he does that none of us would ever know about. Before you go, if you could just go back a little bit, you had this amazing college career, but you went undrafted and you played overseas and then you came back to sign with the Heat. And as you told Mark Spears a while back, quote, I'm 6'8". I got Tim Duncan one night, Kevin Garnett one night. I got Rasheed Wallace, Derek Coleman, Chris Webber. Those are power forwards. Look, these are not guys looking to stretch the floor.
On the court, I played my hardest because I was scared to be a weak link. I didn't want to let my guys down. You know what I mean? I didn't want to be the guy that was not able to step up to the task when my guys needed them. You know, over my NBA career, you know, a lot of guys are fueled by being the best player they could possibly be. I was fueled by being the best teammate I could possibly be. I just wanted to be a guy that my guys could depend on night in, night out, 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. You could depend on me to rebound. You could depend on me to defend. You could depend on me to make a shot. You could depend on me to pick you up 2 o'clock in the morning if you break down with a flat tire. I just wanted to be the most dependable, reliable teammate that my guys can have. And every night I stepped out against those guys, man, I was petrified because I knew that if I was the weak link, we couldn't get it done. Now, I played in a league in an era where there was real power forwards. And not to take away anything from the power forwards now, but the game has changed. It's more stretched power forwards and it's not as physical. I played in an era where if you were with a weak link, there were no plays called. There was no threes being shot. They were literally going to take advantage of you every time till your coach took you out. So you had to be able to step up and you had to be able to perform and you had to be able to meet the challenge every night. And playing against those guys, man, that just set me up for, you know, just to be able to compete at that level every night.
Dude, these guys, I mean, any one of these guys, but, like, I wish I had more time. I want to ask you about D.C. Like, Derek Coleman, man, he was a monster.
I could tell you a story about him.
Tell me.
Man. It's really quick.
Please.
And it's much respect, man, because I never respect the wolves in sheep clothing. I never respect the guys that hide and run and then do something and hide again. I respect the guys that come straight at you front center, and you know they're coming, and you got to deal with the consequences. So, it was a game. I was a rookie, and we were in Philly, and I got fouled, but they didn't call it. And then Dwayne got fouled later, and, of course, they called Dwayne's foul. They didn't call my foul. So Dwayne goes to the free throw line, and he's shooting, and I'm sitting next to Derek Coleman at the free throw line. I say, damn, DC, I say, that was kind of a hard foul. Did you mean to hit me like that? And he looked at me and said, let me tell you something, young fella. If I meant to hit you like that, you would know it. And I said, you know what? I said, you know what? Respect.
Oh, that's great.
Respect.
That's awesome.
Like, respect. You're not coming sideways. You're not blindsiding me. You let me know. Like, young fella, if I wanted to put a hurting on you, you would know it.
Oh, I love
and
that.
That was respect.
That is awesome.
Respect. And from that point on, I respected Derek Coleman.
All right, so let me ask you this. Like, I mean, you're not in any way to undersell your athleticism or your innate ability or talent. You have all those things, obviously. But I've always been struck, Udonis, by, like, your habits, your work ethic, your grind, your process, your consistency. Did you always have those things, or did you develop them once you got into the league? And if so, how did you go about doing that?
I mean, I developed a lot of them playing for Frank Martin. He was the first coach that actually pushed me beyond, you know, my level of being comfortable. And also developed them from being in the NBA, you know, understanding that everybody in this league is talented. Everybody in this league has God-given ability, so what's going to separate you from the most? You know, I felt like my work ethic, my mindset, my heart, and you know, where I came from and my grit was set me away and separate me from those guys. So I can't stop. At this stage of the game, it's a lifestyle. You know, if I stop now, I got to retire. So there's no stopping me until I'm ready to retire. So every day, you know, 5-6 days a week, you know, I'm up and it's a grind. You know, even through this quarantine, you know, I got guys coming to the house. You know, me and my kids in the backyard working out, running, training every day, and we're getting done. We just stay focused. So, you know, being a chubby kid, you know, a lot of people know my story. I was a chubby kid. So, you know, being a chubby kid, you know, it's definitely for me, it means something to stay in shape and not go back and be an example for all the chubby kids out there.
What a great message. Listen, if people want more information and they want to get to your foundation, how do they do so?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just go online and you go to Donna's Having Children's Foundation, and you can find us on there, or you can go to UDKids on Instagram, and you can find us on there as well. Everything we're doing, whether you support me or support somebody else, everything we're doing is going back to communities for a bigger cause. So I encourage everybody to get involved in some shape, form, or fashion with some organization, or create something on your own. We can all make a difference in some way. But, you know, just looking forward and everything that's going on with this virus, man, until we come together and collectively make a move, I don't think, you know, nothing's going to get better no time soon. So, you know, not only the kids in the inner cities, but, you know, everybody's going to be affected at some point.
Everybody. He's a 3-time NBA champion. He is the longest tenured captain in Miami Heat history. Udonis, I've been looking forward to that for a long, long time. I appreciate you very much. And thanks so much for spending time with us. That was outstanding.
I really appreciate you too, man. Big fan of your show and everything you're doing. Thank you for having me.
You too, Udonis. Mutual respect. Big fan of yours, and I really do appreciate you and everything you're doing. And I look forward to that conversation for a long, long time, and that was even better than I expected. And I expected great things from him. Udonis Haslam. All right, we will take a timeout and come right back. Like I said, you know, the silver lining in this is somehow, some way, we are finding ways to people that ordinarily maybe we would not. He wrote an amazing piece for the Players Tribune and thankfully wanted to talk about that and his career. God, what a great conversation that was.